Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing good? Awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all doing exactly that. Obviously, this side of heaven. Heaven's going to be better than here. Absolutely. But right now, we get to have heaven practice, and I'm excited about it. Listen, some of you might be wondering why this is up here. It's because we have a wonderful young lady in our church. Her name's Charlie. Her nickname's Charlie, and she has a 3D printer, and she wanted me to know that Jesus loves me, and I wanted you all to know. So that's what it says. Jesus loves you guys. Jesus loves you guys, and Jesus loves you guys. And I'm praying that it fits right on the dashboard of my car so I can keep it in there. If not, I'm going to glue it somehow. And then Gabe will help me get the glue off my dashboard. He already knew. Listen, we're going to continue our series today about the Holy Spirit. And today, we get the opportunity of unpacking one of the most misunderstood things. And when we do this, I prayed all week that God would speak to our minds and our hearts, and that we would hear Him in such a way that we would walk out of this place different. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in fully. But Father God, I thank You so much for everybody that's in the room today, Lord. God, I thank You for who they are, who they are created to be. And God, I pray that You would use this time to speak to our minds and our hearts in such a way that we feel comfortable enough to put things into action in our life. God, I thank You for all that You've done. I praise You for what You're doing. And God, I stand here with all of Your sons and daughters with great expectation of what You have planned to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, as we talk about the Holy Spirit today and the spiritual gifts that were given to us by Him, I want us to understand that it's okay if we open up and say, hey, I don't understand, or I'm confused. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today are one of the most misapplied things in church. And that's okay if we point that out and talk about it. It's okay for us to understand that there are Christians in this room, in this world, in the church, that either overemphasize the things that we're going to talk about, or they de-emphasize the things that we're going to talk about, or they completely ignore the things that we're going to talk about today, or they deny the reality of these precious, amazing deposits that God's placed in our lives. That covers everybody. Either you overemphasize, you de-emphasize, you deny, or you completely ignore. And listen, I used to be somebody that fell into the category of ignore, and it wasn't because I didn't want to know. It was just because I was afraid because of ignorance. Ignorance and ignore are pretty close to each other, right? They're friends. And I was just scared. So I ignored the things that we're going to talk about today when we start unpacking spiritual gifts. And listen, there are people in our lives, and some of these people used to be us, and there might be people in here today, this is currently you, and you're going to be changed. But we don't grasp the full gravity of the gifts of God because we get too focused on what they are, instead of why they were given and what they're to be used for. We get so focused on just having head knowledge. What are they? How do I, instead of, God, why did You give these gifts? How can we use them to bring glory and honor to Your name? I want us all to dwell in that place. Understand what they are, but understand even more so why they are and what they are to be used for. That's my prayer. That's what I want to see happen. And we're going to unpack a lot of things today in a short amount of time. We have 26 minutes and 28 seconds left. There's a clock right there, guy. It's pretty cool. Counts us down. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. All right, so let's answer a big question that might be in the room. Are we in the end times? Yes, 100%. When did the end times begin? When Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father in his rightful place. That's when it started. And now we have directions on how we're supposed to walk and function. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you may be praying. Don't allow for anything to corrupt your mind. Whether it be a substance, a someone, or a something. Do not allow for something to corrupt your mind. Stay sober-minded. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Listen, Peter highlights some things for us that we need to fully understand and grasp before we move forward. He talks about gifts. He talks about things that we've received and how we're supposed to function in them. And he, in verse 11, breaks them down into two categories, either the speaking gifts or the serving gifts. And listen, every single spiritual gift listed in the Bible, which we're about to get to shortly, falls into one of these two categories. Either it's a speaking gift or it's a serving gift. And us understanding that is vitally important. Now, they're not all the same. Although there's two categories, there's many different variations. There's many different diversities of the gifts that we're going to talk about. But all of the gift lists portray these gifts as falling into one of these two categories, either speaking or serving. Now, listen, before we get to the gifts and understanding them and talking through them, I want us to understand why they're important and how they are to operate. Because if we just know what they are and not know why and how, it doesn't work. I'm a guy, okay? I've recently learned something about myself that if I can figure out how something is put together and how it works, I can fix it. I've just learned this about myself. It's actually pretty amazing. And Rachel's very excited about it as well. Because there's been lots of things that have been broken that have recently gotten fixed. And it's because I realized, hey, I can figure out anything with a phone call or with YouTube University and watching how to do these things. Now, obviously, it takes 12 to 15 trips to Home Depot to complete said task. But I think it's fun. There's people in this room that work at Home Depot, and they're here because of those 12 to 15 trips. I'm serious. Is Landon here? Where's Landon at? He's not here yet. He'll be here. In Jesus' name. There's other people that work at Home Depot that they just came here not because of those trips. They were already here. But let's understand some things. These gifts that we're going to talk about today were given to us because there's a job to do. And we just read this in 1 Peter. The end is near. Time is running out. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised later this afternoon. So we need to understand the urgency by which to use the gifts that God has given us. God gives us gifts because we have a job to do, and time is running out, and we must use them in such a way that it honors him. We are called to reach the lost. We are called to equip those that have been found. And we are called to deploy the church in such a way that families are changed, communities are changed, cities are changed, states are changed, countries are changed, the world is changed. But we're going to start with your world, not the world, yours. Time is running out, and you're supposed to use the gifts that God gave you. And we're supposed to use them in such a way that we're being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that fell upon the early believers at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that dwells within you. The same Holy Spirit that spoke through Peter when he delivered a message that thousands and thousands and thousands of people got saved dwells within you. The same Holy Spirit, the same power, the same strength, the same equipping nature of the Holy Spirit dwells within you that dwelled within him. Amen. Dwells within us, dwells within me. And sometimes we get fearful to just speak up at the grocery store. The Holy Spirit that fell upon the early believers at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that dwells within us and will push us forward to advance the kingdom. So, let's understand some things. The reason for the gifts and how they operate. In verses 7 through 10, Peter tells us that the gifts are rooted in love and to be administered without grumbling for the purpose of serving others. I'm gonna give you a sandwich today, okay? In love and serving others are the bread. Okay? The middle part, without grumbling, we're going to get to that last, okay? Because I want you to understand the in love part and the serving others part, and then we'll talk about the grumbling part. Sound good? All righty. Love is something we see elsewhere where gifts are spoken about in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12. So love and understanding that no grumbling and serving others is so important. Now, I have a thought. Could it be that we don't see manifestations of the Holy Spirit a lot in the American church because we're missing this? We're not serving people out of love. We're serving people out of a self-seeking idea. And even if you are serving people in love and you are serving others fully, completely abandoned to the Holy Spirit, you're still not doing it without complaining. I was challenged by this. Why? Because I grumble. Rachel would even say that I complain. Not many other people would say that, but I think, you know, Rachel would probably say that. The more hungry I get, the more complaining I do. Now, I think that God gave me a great picture as a father to my son, Lennon. I've been telling him to stop complaining a lot. I've been telling him, stop complaining. Just wait. It's going to happen. Stop asking. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Right? I've been telling him a lot recently. Because I know what's going to happen. He's going to receive what he's asking for, or he's going to receive it in a different way, but it's going to happen. And I think about how many times God has probably said that to us as his children. Stop complaining, stop whining, and just wait. Stop complaining, stop whining. Just wait. Stop grumbling. Just do what I've called you to do. I don't know. That's just something. Maybe that was just for me. Let's think about James 5:20. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is what love does. Love saves people from sin. It does not tolerate sin. If we're to understand how the gifts operate, we're supposed to do them in love, then we need to fully understand love because our culture hasn't messed up. We love everything. I love that new coffee. I love that new restaurant. Oh, I just love that new show. we have discounted the word love. And we've also said we just have to love everybody. Listen, I do. I love everybody. I love being around people. I love everything about it, but I don't have to love everything that people are stuck in. I love them enough to pull them out of those things and help them meet Jesus. I love people who are going through depression, but I don't love their depression. And this is coming from a person who used to be very depressed. I love people who have anxiety, but I don't love their anxiety. I love people who have addictions, but I don't love their addiction. Do you get what I'm saying here? I love sinners, but I don't have to love their sin. You don't have to do that either, but we have to love people enough to speak to them in truth. Love saves people from sin. It does not tolerate sin. It is not loving to continue to let another person wander in sin. That's like saying that I love my alcoholic friend. Well, where are they? Well, I just dropped them off at the state store. I'll pick them up later. I'm serious. That's what it's like. If we just love people in their sin, and we love their sin too. Love doesn't act like something didn't happen. Love doesn't hide things. Love takes things into account and still chooses to guard and to cover. Love doesn't cover up. Love doesn't cover for, but it covers us. Ultimately, love is a selfless deferment for the betterment of others in the service of our God. The current situation in our society is we got love wrong. We're walking in it wrong. All right, so let's keep going here. Serving others. Serving others is directly connected to love. If we don't love one another, how can we serve one another? How can we care for one another? Listen, the gifts that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, they are not for our own personal enrichment. They're not for our own personal fulfillment. They're not to serve us. They're to serve others. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, for the common good. Serving others is us outworking each other in love. I remember when Rachel and I first got married, we'll celebrate 16 years this July. But we used to fight on who would serve more. Like, I wanted to be the last person to get into bed at the end of the night. I wanted my feet to be the last ones on the ground serving. And now, Rachel and I have changed a little bit over the years. We're serving in different ways now because we don't care if we go to bed and there's some dishes in the sink. Or as I said in the first worship experience, some sinks in the dishes. It's okay. We're going to live to fight another day, okay? But are you trying to outwork people around you in love? Are you trying to outserve people around you in love? Or are you just grumbling? Here we go. Grumbling, this word that is used almost exclusively in the Bible to describe complaints about something that God is doing. Very rarely are our grumbles, our complaints, justified. Now listen, there's absolutely moments in your life, in your family, in your world, that your complaints are valid. But they're not necessarily justified enough for you to stay there and live there. You think about it. Think about your family issues. Think about financial issues. Think about our issues in our world, in our society. Grumbling's not going to move you forward. It's going to keep you stuck. More often than not, our grumbles, our complaints, are against what God is doing because we'd rather serve ourselves instead of serve others. This is why love is a key ingredient to us walking in the gifts that God's given us. 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul calls it the most excellent way. The gifts we're about to talk about are rooted in love, and they are all about serving others. And it's our choice whether or not we're complaining while we're doing that and grumbling. So let's talk about the gifts. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, the gifts are broken down into three separate categories. The first one that we're going to talk about is governmental gifts. The second one that we're going to talk about are the motivational gifts. The third one that we're going to talk about are the spiritual gifts. Now, I want you to understand that every one of these gifts are spiritual, but we'll get to the spiritual ones at the end. Sound good?
Yeah.
We good?
Yeah.
Ryan's good. Victoria's good. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Let's talk about the governmental gifts, commonly referred to as offices. Ephesians 4, 11. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. These are the gifts to the church. So listen, every time I learned this from Pastor Rick, who's down in Next Steps right now. He looks at people and says, I'm a gift to the church. And he says, listen, I have chapter and verse. And he goes to Ephesians 4 and he reads it. But it's true. Our pastors are a gift. The people that are in front of us are a gift. And we may think these gifts are completely not about, you may never be an apostle, you may never be a prophet, you may never be somebody that is called to serve in the office of pastor. But pastor's only mentioned like once in the Bible. Every other time it translates to the word shepherd. You are going to be called at some point in your life to shepherd people around you, to care for people around you, to lead people around you, to feed people around you, to challenge people around you. We're all going to be in some way, shape, or form called to shepherd and care for people. But you might not hold the office of a pastor, and that's okay. Let me give you another example of this. Our connection group leaders at Bridge City Church are the main source of pastoral care at Bridge City Church. They have the title of connection group leader, not of pastor, but you better bet that they are pastoring people. 100%. Why, Nate may never be a minister of the Word of God. Well, if you keep talking that way, that's true. But wherever you work, I'll pick on Mackie for a second. He works for a real nice guy named Mackie, but he has a HVAC company. He does commercial electrical work. The clients that pay him have no idea that they're paying him to be a minister of the Word of God. That's what he's paid to do. Now, he is owner of Mackie Mechanical, but he's a minister of the Word of God. And every single customer that he walks into their house, they find that out one way or another. Okay? Just look at Gabriel. He owns Pittsburgh Performance. I know his boss too, and he knows his boss as well. People think that they're paying him to fix their cars or to paint their vehicles or to fix bodywork. No, they're paying him so that he could be a minister of the Word of God. All of us are going to be ministers of the Word of God. And these gifts are called for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're called to equip others. So let's keep going. Romans 12, 3 through 8. These gifts are referred to as the motivational gifts because they describe abilities that are of inner motivations of the people who have them and provide motivation for the people around them. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, mercy. If you've ever been around somebody that is gifted in the gift of mercy, you don't have to go to them and tell them, hey, I'm going to need you to turn on that merciful gift you got. I'm going to need you to turn that on right now. Okay, we need that. If you've ever been around somebody that is gifted to be an encourager, you can't help to be encouraged around them. It's not possible. You don't have to go to them. I don't have to go to Larry Paladin and say, hey, Pastor Larry, could you turn on that encouragement gift you got? I'm going to need you to talk to some of the saints. I don't need to go to somebody that's gifted in serving and say, hey, I'm going to need you to serve this week. Is that okay with you? As a matter of fact, the people that I know that are gifted in serving, we'll pick on Dawn Kemper here on the front row, we have to schedule her not to do stuff. Dawn, we're going to have an event. There's going to be coffee there, and you're not going to make it. But why? Why can't I? I love doing that. I just want to serve. No, Dawn, you are going to serve the kingdom of God by sitting and not serving that day. But why? How's come? Did I do something wrong? Why am I not allowed to serve? You're good. I know this because I fell in love with the kingdom of God by serving the kingdom of God. And I think it was funny, Pastor Rick and I hid the donuts that are at Bridge City Next Steps down the hall right now. And he didn't know that I was going to talk about this today. But I remember sitting down in Pastor Rick's office, and he said, Nick, if I get another receipt from Dunkin' Donuts from a Sunday morning that shows me that you bought donuts for church, I will fire you. Now, obviously, he was kidding, but not kidding. He just wanted to get his point across. He's like, you are robbing others from falling in love with serving the kingdom of God. I was like, but I'm going to Dunkin' anyways. He's like, I don't care if you're going. Let somebody else go for the purpose of bringing donuts. And if I never had that conversation with him, if I never understood the equipping of the working, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, the cafe would have never existed. Dawn Kemper and her team would have never existed. The renovation of the new cafe downstairs would have never existed. I believe that wholeheartedly because we need to understand that we're called not to do everything, but to equip others to fall in love with doing it too. That's what we're called to do. These motivational gifts, there to operate in humility and accordance to the measure of the faith that God has given you. It is going to take faith to get you to serve. It's going to take faith to get you to operate in that gift of encouragement. It's going to take faith to get you to be able to be somebody that steps out and teaches if you have a teaching gift. It takes faith. Now let's get to the spiritual gifts. You ready? Everybody ready? The spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read them. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, the gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, why do we call these ones the spiritual gifts when all of the gifts are obviously spiritual? Because these particular gifts are more spiritual in flavor. These gifts require an indwelling of the Holy Spirit and full leadership of the Holy Spirit. It requires some spiritual manifestations to take place in your life. Now, we get really scared of the spiritual gifts because we don't understand all of them. And most of the time, people get stuck on speaking in tongues. I want to say this with a microphone on the stage while being recorded. Speaking in tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is not the gift of the Holy Spirit. Catch what I'm saying. I believe that I want every one of you to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. Why? Because I believe that it's beautiful to pray in the Spirit and to build yourself up in your most holy faith. I don't want you to get stuck in this one gift from keeping you from operating and functioning in all the other ones. I remember as a young pastor, I was scared of this. As a young Christian, I was scared of this. I thought my mother-in-law was having a stroke first time I heard somebody speaking in tongues. And then I'm a young pastor, I'm standing right here, and I remember over my right shoulder there was a lady that spoke out in tongues corporately, and I knew that the Bible tells me that if there's a corporate speaking out of tongues loudly, so everybody, there must be an interpretation of it. Thank God that lady also had the gift of interpreting, which you can definitely have, okay? You can definitely have that. But I knew that I needed to explain that, and I was so scared and nervous because it was the first time I ever experienced it, and on my right shoulder, I felt Pastor Rick say, "It's okay, I got this," and he walked up on stage, and I was like, "Thank you, Jesus," because I was just going to fall out in the Holy Spirit. I was just and let somebody else deal with it, right? Because I was scared. I was ignorant. That was my next step. If I didn't feel Pastor Rick tap me on the shoulder, I was going out. I'm serious. Because I was scared. Now, not one bit. Because I've seen the Holy Spirit move in so many different ways. I've seen people get healed. I've seen miracles. And you're like, what miracles have you seen? All of you. There's a miracle sitting in the back row. I mean, start being led by the Holy Spirit in every area of your life, and you can't help but see miracles. Well, I want to see the miracles that they see in other parts of the world. Jordan's going to talk to you about a phenomenal missions trip opportunity. And Ryan's going to encourage him. If you haven't noticed, one of Ryan's gifts is encouragement. Okay? And it's you're all experiencing it today. All of these gifts are calling us to operate in faith. And ultimately, all the gifts are given to us according to the grace of God. And they require unity, they require development, and they require being under spiritual covering and authority. They require this. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are faithful stewards of God's grace. We are faithful stewards of everything that God's given us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, a steward must be found faithful. If you're to steward everything that the Holy Spirit has given you, may we be found faithful in everything that we do. May we not be found sitting on a gift. May we not be found hiding a gift. May we not be found only using a gift for ourselves. Well, how could you use a gift for ourselves? Listen, there's numerous people in this room. I guarantee you that you're gifted as a musician and you play the drums all the time and you don't want to tell anyone about it. I guarantee there are many people in this place that you are gifted in teaching, you're gifted in mercy, you're gifted in those areas, and you won't tell your connection group leader because you don't want to commit to leading a connection group. Come on. I guarantee you that there are men and women in this place that your marriage was falling apart, and God used you in such a way, and you met him in such a way that your marriage has been fully restored, and you learned everything you could possibly learn about God and restoration and the gift of marriage, but you won't lead a marriage connection group because you're scared. That is how you sit on a gift. Where are you depositing your gifts? I can't read it to you, but Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. How will you be found with the talents that God gave you? Are you going to be told, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are you going to be told, why did you hide it? Why did you just sit on it? Why didn't you use the gifts that I gave you? Where are you depositing your gift? Are you keeping it to yourself? Are you using it only at work? Or are you not even telling your employer that you have a certain gift that would benefit their business? Are you using it for your family? Are you using it for your friends? Are you using it to help people begin to follow Jesus? Or, here's the biggest question, are you not even using it to honor your King or your Savior? have to get to a place where we're so comfortable with God calling us to another level that it's not even surprising anymore. I knew that I loved people. I had no idea what God was going to call me to when I allowed for serving others to become a part of my life. I had no idea. I remember sitting across the table from Pastor Larry, and he went through my spiritual gifts test. He's like, "You ranked off the charts in pastor, teacher, and leadership." I was like, "That ain't me. I don't know what that might be wrong." He's like, "No. You don't see it right now, but God placed those things in you, and He will pull them out." What gifts are you sitting on? And if you don't know and you haven't had them revealed to you, Jordan's going to talk about next steps and you going to that next week. It's happening right now. But let's talk about gifts a little bit more. You can't function in the gift that God placed in your life unless you've received the greatest gift that God ever gave you, which is Jesus. If you don't have a day and a time where you received that gift, what better day or time than June 7th, 2026? If you don't have a time where you've professed with your mouth and believed in your heart that He is Lord, how do you expect that you're going to be saved? That's what His scripture says. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a life without Him. Saved from a slow, agonizing spiritual death. Saved from an eternity without Him. That's called hell. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done. But the greatest thing you will ever do. And that's slip your hand up to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place where I've professed You as Lord in my life. I've received Your forgiveness and asked You to lead me into my future." Anyone at all today? Maybe you returned that gift and it's time for you to re-up. It's time for you to rededicate your life to Jesus. Anyone at all today? Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Anyone else? Listen, maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like me and you're afraid to raise your hand because you don't know what people are going to think of you. Take your phone, tap it on that card in the seat in front of you, and you will be taken to a landing page. Just say, "I want to make Jesus the forgiver of my past, leader into my future," and we will pray with you. We will call you and reach out and encourage you and empower you and equip you. But right now, we're going to take a moment and we're going to remember the gift. We're going to remember all that was given for us and why. You should have received your communion elements as you came in. If you didn't, you could slip your hand up and one of the ushers will give it to you. Ryan needs one right here, the encourager. Ryan, the encourager. We're doing exactly what Jesus told the disciples to do, to take of the bread, and in our case, juice, and remember Him. Remember the body that was given and the blood that was shed. And as we partake, I want us to fully remember. We're not mourning. We're not being sad. We're celebrating the life that was given and that He willingly did so, so that we could have a future and a hope. So as we partake together, I want us to understand that we get to receive communion because of what unifies us, which is the cross, and we get to do so in community. Our common unity is Jesus. Let us never forget that, and let's always remember that. Let us partake of the bread together. Let us drink of the juice that is a representation of the blood that was shed for us. It paid our debt. Washed us clean. And sealed the deal of the new covenant that was made.